Thank you for joining us for this episode of FEA Today. My name is Matt Costella, director of the Fundamental Evangelistic Association, headquartered at the Grace Bible Church in Fresno, California. Our hope and prayer is that this brief program will encourage you in the things of the Lord and direct your attention to God's Word as you seek to make sense of the world in which you find yourself today. In our last episode of FEA Today, we were joined by Pastor Gary Friel, who's the pastor of Grace Bible Church in Fresno and on the staff here of the Fundamental Evangelistic Association, and he's back with us again today. Welcome, Gary.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Well, last time we began to talk about the kingdom and what it really entails from the Bible, because so often in Christian circles and radio and books and messages, we hear the phrase kingdom building or kingdom living, and we considered the fact that oftentimes those who use these phrases don't really believe or understand that we're not in the kingdom now. We're not even building the kingdom now, but the kingdom is something we can literally look forward to, yet future, after the return of Jesus Christ with his saints, and he establishes this the first phase of eternity, this thousand-year literal millennial kingdom on this earth. And you were sharing with us some of the blessings of this kingdom.
Right. And I would add to one other thing about that. In order for there to be a kingdom, the Scripture describes that kingdom in concrete terms, not abstract terms. And I think that's the real problem that I think we're facing, that most people do not look at it as something tangible. They look at it in very abstract, in an abstract way. What the kingdom, if you go through Scripture, and Alvin McLean did a masterful job pointing this out in his book, The Greatness of the Kingdom, he said that the kingdom, in order for there to be a kingdom, there have to be three things, three elements: a king with power and authority to rule, or a ruler with power and authority, a realm of subjects over which the king or the ruler will exercise authority, and the actual exercise of that authority. Well, one of the problems with this idea of a kingdom today is that the king isn't here. The king is in heaven, and he's not seated on David's throne, which the Bible describes. He will sit on the throne of his father David, and he will rule the nations. But he is sitting on his father's throne, and his father, God, is not David's throne. So that's not even possible today. The other thing that I want us to realize is that we are living in this life right now in preparation for that kingdom. We have a very important role. The Bible tells us, as church saints, as his bride, we will rule and reign with him. So the things that happen to us in this life are not just to test us and to test our mettle and to make sure we're worthy of our salvation and all of that. That's not it at all. It's to prepare us for life in the kingdom. So we will have roles, and we are literally kingdom citizens. But we're not in the kingdom now. That doesn't mean we're experiencing the kingdom, but we are preparing for it.
So often the Old Testament prophets talk about these glories of the kingdom and the promises of God. We talked about this a little bit last time, peace and the abundance that will flow forth from the earth, and the fact that those who are entering into this kingdom at the beginning will be saved people, will be believers. And yet, oftentimes, when I'm studying Scripture in the Old Testament, especially, I find a lot in the book of Psalms also that really are addressing aspects of the future kingdom and the glories of the king being there and worshiping the Lord and these kinds of things. And I don't think we wrap our minds around the fact enough that we will literally be able to be physically, worshiping the king and worshiping
right.
the Lord.
Right. Yeah. That is such an important part of the Psalms, that there you had numerous what we call messianic Psalms, and they describe this king ruling on a throne. Like in Psalm 2, it says, God says, I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion, talking about the Lord Jesus. We know from New Testament quotes of that psalm, we know that God has set Jesus on that throne. Now, Jesus is not on that throne yet, but one day he will be. Psalm 45 is another messianic psalm. And the psalms are just permeated with those references to worship that is impossible for us to accomplish today or to experience today, but it will be in the kingdom when the king is here and when we as his subjects are able to worship him.
What are some of the other Old Testament promises in relation to what this kingdom will be like that you can think of? I know you just recently have taught through Zephaniah,
right?
And so for those listening, I mean, what are some other things that the Old Testament promises concerning this kingdom that you could think of?
Well, one of the things is the prominent role that the nation Israel will have in the kingdom. They are promised a role as the head of the nations. Right now, that is a far cry from reality. That's just they are the dregs of the earth as far as most nations are concerned. But one day when the kingdom begins, they will be exalted as the head of the nations. Moses talked about that. Isaiah talks about it. Jeremiah talks about it. The other thing that sticks out to me about that, connected with that, is the actuation, I guess. I don't know if that's a real word, but I've used it. The actuation of the new covenant. You know, in Jeremiah 31, God tells both Israel and Judah, I will make with you a new covenant, not like the old covenant that I made. And he goes through a list of promises in that are contained in that covenant. And Ezekiel talks about that covenant too. And God says, I will do this. Not like I demanded you to do in the old covenant. I'm going to do this. I'm going to put these things in your heart. I told you before in the old covenant, put them in your heart. Now I'm going to do this. And I see those covenant blessings as the constitution of the millennial kingdom for Israel. And what a transformation will take place, and what a blessed time that will be for them. There will be peace, like we said, on the earth. And peace is not just a cessation of hostility. There is a lot, there are ideas that are tied into true biblical peace that I would encourage people to study, that these things are tangible. These things, there will be product. There will be produce in abundance. There will be, the crops and the livestock of the nations will prosper. The rain will be plenteous. Basically, something Jesus says in Matthew 19 about the regeneration with the disciples, in the regeneration you will experience this. When he talks about the regeneration, he's talking about, he uses the term, it'll be Genesis again. It'll be, things will be restored to the way it was at the beginning. And, there were so many blessings that Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. And even afterward, man was blessed, but still man sinned. The thing that really strikes me, though, about the difference between then and now is who's in charge, who's in control. And it'll be the Lord Jesus, the sinless Son of God, sitting on that throne. What a difference that'll be. No more corruption, no more violence, no more wickedness in high places, no more bribery and all of that nonsense that we see today going on, even in our own government.
Yeah, we find, of course, from the book of Revelation that the God of this world, the present God of this world, will be bound during this kingdom, during this 1,000 years.
Yeah, that's huge, because it says he will be bound specifically, that he will not be able to go out and deceive the nations anymore. Not there will, and so that seems to be one of the things that drives him and that motivates him to be a deceiver. And during that kingdom, nobody will be deceived by Satan.
You touched upon something earlier that I think is one of the main distinctions between the way people view the kingdom today and what the Bible has to say, and that is God will do it. So often, I think in our minds, we think, well, we're kingdom builders. We're building a kingdom. We're kingdom, whatever it might be. And yet Scripture is very clear that when it comes to the kingdom, this is something that God is going to do. This isn't something we bring in, we establish, we make it work through our efforts. When it comes to either the regathering of Israel, when it comes to all of these incredible blessings, this is something God does,
right? Exactly.
Not something we do
exactly.
or make happen.
And I think we see a little bit of that in terms of salvation in this age. We can't manufacture salvation. We can't even manufacture sanctification in Christians' lives. I mean, you and I talk about this a lot, that people get so concerned about what everybody else is doing, and rather than allowing that person to have the Holy Spirit work in their heart and life and enable them to make the changes necessary, we want to do it. Or they want to do it. They want to force people into this mold of Christianity that they have. And that I think during the kingdom, that will finally dawn on people. We can't do it. God has to do it.
It's all of him. That's true.
Exactly.
So with the few minutes we have remaining, so then as believers in the church today, what is our role? What is our responsibility? What is our privilege if it isn't kingdom building or bringing in a kingdom? What are we to be doing today?
We're to be making disciples. We are to be edifying one another. We're to be building up the body of Christ. I cannot stress enough how important the church in this dispensation is. We are not Israel. We have not replaced national Israel. We are not. There are things in Scripture that talk about life in the kingdom, and we are preparing for that. That in our physical bodies, we won't be mortal. Then we'll be immortal. We'll have our glorified bodies. We are preparing for that now. We are trophies of, as Paul put it in Ephesians 2, we're trophies of his grace. And we will be on display throughout all eternity, but especially even on this earth during the kingdom, we will be on display as trophies of his marvelous salvation. And so I think we need to make much of the church. We need to make much of what God is doing in us and through us to prepare us for the kingdom. But that doesn't mean we're bringing in the kingdom. We're not. We can't. It's impossible. But we can be preparing for life in the kingdom now. How, by loving one another, by serving one another, by growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and on and on and on, those commands in Scripture that we have pertaining to life in this fallen world as we live in a manner of speaking, under the God of this age, realizing that it's not always going to be like this. It's going to be far better, and we just have to be patient.
And that's our prayer, and that's our hope, even in this brief broadcast, that we might be able to aid in equipping and encouraging believers to know the truth and to grow in the truth. And as you mentioned, as God desires of us, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with this relatively brief time that we have here on this earth. And this is where the Lord has put us in the here and now. And of course, we look forward and anticipate and await the return of our Lord for us, and then the establishing of his kingdom. But until then, we just want to be faithful and encourage those who are listening to be faithful as well. I thank you so much for joining us, Pastor Gary. Our time's up. And until next time, may the Lord continue to bless you.